Sticky Wonder Tales, written by Hugh Spencer, performed by Dave Nickel and Hugh Spencer. Hey, Squiffy. Sorry to hear about the bowel infection. Even sorry to hear that it's one of the intelligent ones. Just how intelligent do you think? If you've got one of the stupider batches, I've heard that you can sometimes pacify them by watching sitcoms from the 1960s and early 70s. Not Dick Van Dyke or Green Acres, because there's some hidden smart stuff and surrealism in some of those. No, try the blandest thing imaginable, like the Brady Bunch or the Beachcombers. That ought to settle them down. No, scratch the Beachcombers. I hear it's a bit dangerous if the bugs go totally comatose. Otherwise, how's the mutation coming along? Not too fast, because we'll miss you, I hope. Not too slow either, because that would be boring. Everything is such a question of fucking balance these days. Cheers.
Andrew, I agree with you on your last point. You have to keep on evolving, but not so much that they don't know where to send the bill for the Science Fiction Book of the Month Club. Okay, can you believe that such a quaint institution still exists? Anyway, to answer your main question, the process seems to be moving along pretty well. The bacteriological route is uneven and kind of painful, but what can I say? The price was definitely right. Maybe I should have gone the way you did and just stayed with technology. Hey, have they moved you on to any new simulators? Best?
Hey, Squiffer. They put our whole team into the most advanced model of our oldest and most obsolete simulators. I think that's better than being assigned to the least advanced model of the middle-range systems. But you know what a dangerous optimist I can be. I can be realistic, too. There's absolutely no way some guy from the suburbs of Steeltown is going to get hold of any exotic tech. At least not this fast. Our trainer explained that it could be some kind of an honor. An unusual challenge for advancement. Which is boss code for, this job is going to be so boring that it will fossilize your brain, or so dangerous that it will melt your gonads. Maybe both. Anyway, the unusual challenge is trying out some supercultured chatter that might be some technology teaching software. Of course, it could be random eruptions of interstellar gas. Our team gets to figure out which. No problem, I figure. It ought to only take 20, maybe 30 years. Even if it does turn out to be something meaningful, it doesn't necessarily follow that the information will be anything particularly important. It could be blueprints for the intergalactic equivalent of those little plastic tags that keep bread bags shut. Then again, it might be some profound existential insight. Real meaning of life shit. We're talking at least 80 million cultures and a shitload of space and eternity. Profoundly yours.
Andrew, I had a great dream last night. It was back in our old house in Saskatchewan. It was dead of January. Snow everywhere, about 3 in the morning. You know, one of those unbelievably black, bleak and frigid nights. I really miss them sometimes. Anyway, I turned away from the kitchen window for a second to take a sip of postum, and when I look out again, there's this amazing shifting wall of aurora borealis everywhere. There's electrical crackling and THX sound, and it's like high noon with an ultraviolet sun. Then the effect fades and it goes back to night again. But it's hardly black out there now. I'm looking at some planets, gas giants, floating over the snowdrifts. 5 different variations of Jupiter out there. The multicolored bands of gas take up a third of the sky, which makes a striking contrast to the outline of the old Greek Orthodox church on 105th Street. Unfucking believable, as I believe the bard once put it. I suspect the dream was some kind of psychic compensation for my long-standing disappointment that there were never any big ships. The dream also helped me not to worry that I'd completely forgotten Annie's 8th birthday yesterday. I can understand how you can evolve past some old friendships, but forgetting about your kids? Another downside of this process, I suppose. Speaking of which, I've got to go now. The bacteria have reached a developmental phase that makes me extremely flatulent. I'm still connected enough to my family to notice that they don't like it if I don't deal with this problem in the bathroom. So, got to go pass some gas on my way to the stars. Bloatedly.
Squiffoid, sorry about your fart attacks. Hope you got around to fixing the bathroom before all this started. Are you still ticked about the lack of big ships? Get over it, guy. Maybe what I'm about to tell you will be a bit of a consolation. Probably not, because it's happening to me and not you. It's just likely to tick you off even more. But what the hell, I'll tell you anyway. The software we're using to drive the simulators is indeed meaningful. It seems to be some kind of mission program in a solar system that we've never heard of. Holy shit. The graphics, the sounds, the motion commands. Sweeping, swooping, blasting our way through multicolored rings of interstellar dust, crashing through the core of an exploding sun. Hate to say it, but those shows make your Saskatchewan dreamscape sound pretty lame. It's not quite a fleet of UFOs hiding behind the moon, or Gort on the White House lawn, but I'm definitely living some kind of classic sci-fi movie here. Sorry, I know this must sound really insensitive. It's just that we're having so much fun here, and I'm sure once Central Administration finds out that we've got something interesting, they're bound to take it away from us. With apologies.
Andrew, thank you. I really appreciate how you're trying to help me hang on to my basic humanity by annoying me as much as possible. It's almost working. You helped me to remember that I really, really still want to see those big ships. I want them personally. I'd even settle for getting a goofy sunburn like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters. Any kind of significant experience would make me feel better about what's happening in my real life. I'm becoming a serious asshole. I'm pretty sure that it's a side effect of the process. God, I hope it is a side effect of the process. I know all the books say you shouldn't use your emerging abilities without training, and in particular, you shouldn't do so with your family and friends present, but it creeps up on a person. At first it was small stuff, subconsciously implanting a desire in my oldest's mind to finish his homework and go look for a summer job. Then you start suggesting that broccoli is actually a Slurpee from 7-Eleven. Eventually, you're levitating your kids to bed at 9 o'clock. Harmless, right? Not really. Yesterday, my youngest left all his Power Rangers stuff scattered all over the floor of the family room. It was bath night, and I went in there looking for him. What happened next was all my fault. I shouldn't have gone in there with just my bare feet. You know, those action figures have a lot of pointy bits. And, well, my enhancements just snapped on. And I melted all the toys in the basement. Just like that. The books do say that some powerful affect-based manifestations are likely to occur. But I always figured that my advanced mental powers would be very calm and cerebral thing. Think about it. The process is supposed to come from some higher civilization somewhere in the galactic core. I mean, to me that implies some thought, some rationality, some reason. To me it does not imply suddenly losing it and reducing the proceeds of the last three Christmases to smoldering pools of plastic. Maybe my deduction was more of an assumption. The next thing that happens is that my 8-year-old is standing in the doorway. He saw the whole thing. You can imagine the waterworks that Pat and I had to deal with. Could you imagine if Derek had actually been in the room when I did that? I could have melted him. The next time I go in for more prescriptions, I'm going to ask for more than something to deal with the flatulence. Take care.
Squiff, I don't know about those big ships, but I'm pretty sure we're dealing with some damned fast ships here. I'm still having a lot of fun here. I seem to have mastered the speed and directional controls for whatever kind of vehicle this is supposed to be. Last week we got a memo from the lab telling us that they think we're running training software for some kind of spacecraft. Well, duh. Then they went on to tell us not to be alarmed if the instruments on our consoles started to change. The alien software is making some suggestions to our sim software. Now that's just cool. Do you remember that old MG Roadster that I fixed up for your old girlfriend? The red thing that had running boards? It was a loud and beautiful pig of a machine, and if you stroked it right and said nice things, it would do anything for you. A lot like your old girlfriend, as I recall. Whatever craft we're simulating is a lot like that old MG, except that it's capable of moving faster than light, and I think it can travel through time. Which means that if you steer it just right, the chronometers tell you that you've arrived before you left. This is so much fun that I really don't mind that I'm not actually flying the real thing. I've never loved a job this much. I really am the happiest when I'm in the motion capsule tugging at the control tendrils and scoping out all the 3D imaging. Do you remember Sue's youngest and how he was with his old Nintendo system? How he would bang away at the controller for hours on end? Silly kid used to cry and scream like they'd pulled his teeth out if he couldn't move up to the next level. And when he finally did beat the game, it was like he was a junkie who just won a lifetime supply of morphine from the lottery. I remember telling the kid that the cube was just a simple computer, and what happened in the game was really just how you're interacting with the game programs. "No way," the kid yelled at me. "It's all about how good you are, how much you believe in the game. The game knows if you're trying your best, and it rewards you." That really creeped me out. The only thing that was creepier was the way the kid started lying in the dark all day in his room, waiting for the time when Sue finally gave up and said he could play some more. You were at school, so you probably don't remember how Sue had a yard sale a few months later, and the Nintendo system mysteriously vanished. The 2 weeks of withdrawal symptoms were a bit rough, but I hear the kid turned out okay, eventually. I'm a bit like that kid these days. I lay around my room waiting for the next sim run. What's really creepy is the fact that I love that part, too. Shivering and sweating here.
Andrew. I got some new medicine, and I'm feeling better. The process continues. I can now see lower-frequency sound waves, and I don't need solid food anymore. This makes grocery shopping a little more complicated, but the family hasn't complained too much. At least there's enough of my original physiology operating that the Prozac-like capsules I'm taking still work. There's no more outburst of domestic telekinesis or spontaneous combustion, but I'm still obsessing about how everyone managed to miss first contact. First contact. Remember when people used to capitalize those letters? Seems ridiculous now. I agree with those sociologists who finally decided that we all just kind of noticed that alien concepts and information were seeping into the collective unconscious of the human race. I also remember an interview with a Sagan wannabe who said that this probably been happening for quite some time, but only recently had the phenomena reached cosmological tipping point where we could now expect an exponential increase in these intellectual manifestations. Billions and billions of weird new ideas all raining down on us. I think I remember the interview because I felt so sorry for that astronomer. They'd had all those antennae stretched out all over the planet, and the aliens weren't using radio signals to communicate with us at all. They weren't even communicating with us, really. The Vygotsky effect is what they eventually called it. I looked it up on the internet, if you actually care. God, I'm ranting here. Must be the pills. Anyway, we discovered that we were picking up the alien civilizations through sublingual mental processes, which apparently is the only way that information can be conveyed on a faster-than-light basis, which is pretty handy if you're running a vast galactic superculture. I guess it's pretty passé to capitalize those words, too, these days. When I was younger, I used to think that all of this was pretty monumental stuff. Why doesn't anybody care about this kind of thing anymore? Maybe it's like computers. You probably don't remember how exotic and exciting they used to be. Then we all got one, and we all had to start using them. So computers went from being a part of the amazing world of the future to yet another boring thing in everybody's pain-in-the-ass job. So what's the outcome, I write in my drug-addled state? Well, we are a very practical people. If alien concepts are seeping into our minds, then the best thing to do is to try and put them to some kind of commercial use. In addition to the pills, I've been drinking quite a bit lately. Therefore, I'm pretty drunk right now. The artificial articulator program on my PDA fixes most of my spelling and grammar mistakes, so you don't know how deranged I sound right now. I'm sitting out on the porch, and my youngest is next to me, building towers with Lego. Cost quite a bit to replace. The Lego, I mean. I'm trying to get some fresh air to help the bacteria breathe. The little buggers have penetrated the walls of my stomach, and now there's rows and rows of little flesh valves in my gut, struggling hard to suck and push the air. Isn't that a great conversation starter for my neighbors as they walk their dogs past the house? My youngest doesn't seem to notice, bless him. It's about 5 in the afternoon, and the fact that I look so bloody horrific is one reason that I'm knocking back gin and cream soda so early in the day. Another reason is that I'm not sure how much longer my body will even let me get drunk. Now, how unfair is that? So, okay, sorry about all the tedious free association. Won't happen again. Next time I write, I'll be a genetically evolved super being with the capacity for more coherent communication. Toodles.
S. Toodles? Breathing through your gut? Are your abs just a big balloon now? Did you do all those sit-ups for nothing? Sorry, I guess I shouldn't make fun. It's just that I've had a hell of a week. Not actually bad, just very different from what I was expecting. And since I spent most of my days exploring a simulation of the outer fringes of an unknown quadrant of the galaxy, that's saying quite a lot. Things were going great until Wednesday, just coming up on noon. Middle of the week, middle of the workday. Good time for something extreme. I was steering my sim out of a really complex five-sun solar system with 18 gas giants when I noticed that I couldn't let go of the directional controls. It felt like the skin on my fingertips had fused into the hardware. Did I mention that something had happened to the console? No? Well, now it looked a lot softer and it was throbbing. That just didn't seem right. I was still in a high for my hot piloting, so while I was interested at the intellectual level, I was more than willing to carry on with the mission profile. What the fuck is going on? That was what the shift controller was screaming into my scenario, which I guess was a good thing. I mean, it was nice that somebody out there was actually paying attention. Anyway, the controller hits the master switch and shuts down all the sims. So I'm sitting there waiting for the text to show up and unscrew me from the capsule. Meanwhile, I sit there and watch the console kind of sigh and shudder, like somebody had just let all the air out of the electronics. Yeah, I know, that makes no sense. Then I pulled my hands away from the controls and saw the gooey pink tendrils that linked the insides of my fingertips to the wiring of the Sims hardware. Definitely one of those Cronenberg moments. What was even stranger was the fact that while this hurt like 10 simultaneous root canals, it also felt quite wonderful. Hard to explain, really. So they used some tiny lasers to cauterize the tendrils and wheeled us off to the medicos. Once we got there, they jammed sensor probes up every orifice you can imagine and put us on 24/7 monitoring. So I lay there with a wire up my ass until Sunday. The good news is that they say we get to go back to the Sims tomorrow. Toodles to you, too.
Andrew, I guess this is a big week for transformations. My skin has wrinkled up, turned green, and my eyes are all puffy and yellow. I look like one of the incredible intergalactic turtle people. Maybe that's not a joke. Maybe I really am one of the intergalactic turtle people. Really hard to say these days. My doctor says that my evolutionary transformation process has pretty much spiked, and very soon I'll be comfortable with all superhuman abilities. I don't know what qualifies him to make a statement like that, but I actually think he's right. Every time I have a bowel movement, I spontaneously factor quadratic equations while experiencing powerful flashbacks of the last time my neighbors had sex, which I'm sure will come in handy in the office environment at some point in time. Best.
Stephen, I received my official briefing today. Here's the short version. The software we've been running in our simulators is turning me into an alien organism. Not just me, the whole team on my shift. You can imagine how, as I watched the new tendrils slither out of my fingertips, what a big surprise that was. Gosh, doctor, I said. The gill slits in my cheeks make my voice really wet and sloppy. I thought it was just a case of the flu. No, they aren't that stupid. There must be some legal reason they gave me the news in this way. Sure enough, the medico opens up my file and takes out a document that I must have signed when I accepted the job. It's important for you to understand that even though this is an unexpected development, the guy says, you gave us full consent at the outset of this project. That's an interesting medical opinion. The chair in this office is making what passes for my ass these days really uncomfortable. All terrestrial furniture is bad these days. I only feel good inside the sim. I really don't care what the company doctor is telling me. All I want to do is get back to my mission runs. We're shutting down the project, the doctor says. We're just not sure what directions these transformations are taking. Shutting it down? No runs? Shit. Shit, shit, and shit. The doctor peers at some notes. He sounds a little uncertain because this communication was written by people who went to different schools. Apparently the missions you've been training for seem to be for some part of the galaxy that we're not likely to access for another 2 or 3 millennia. I should have said something at that point, raised some objection, but I didn't. Maybe my mutant lisp was making me feel self-conscious. We just don't see any practical applications. Bullshit. They just don't feel like spending any more money. At that point, I do remember standing up really fast. Then I remember the flash of the doctor's needle, and the last thing I remember was noticing how quickly the floor was approaching my face. The tranquilizer must have worked very fast. Guess my physiology hasn't changed that much. Take care.
Andrew, well, it sounds like we had some very similar days, at least as far as needles and the lecture on informed consent were concerned. They have a better case with me. Unbelievable as it sounds to me now, I actually signed up for all this nonsense. They called me up from my cubicle on, yes, a Wednesday. I was doing lateral data matches from different company divisions, and I was doing some good work. I didn't appreciate the interruption. It's hard to get back on track when you're on a good telepathic roll. Elwood was waiting for me. He was waiting in an office with a window. Big domed forehead, brain the size of 12 supercomputers, bulging purple bloodshot eyes. As I recall, Elwood had those ugly eyes even before he underwent the process. I never liked Elwood. I didn't like Elwood when he was an intern in human resources. I didn't like him when he had xenoplasmic goo oozing from his ears and nose. And I didn't like him on that particular Wednesday, even though he was a highly successful super being. It's interesting to discover what changes in a person and what doesn't. Stephen, Elwood spoke very quietly, very carefully. We've been accessing your actualization. Yeah, tell me something that wasn't completely obvious, you ultra-craniated moron, I thought. Then I briefly wondered if empathic telepathy was one of Elwood's evolved skills. Oh well, he might as well know the truth. We feel that the synergy between your potentiated self and our corporate objectives, this was not going to be good, isn't yielding the sorts of benefits that we had hoped for. Like you, maybe I should have said something. I could have tried to argue this point. Maybe I wasn't as smart as Elwood, but my task functional IQ was probably pushing 350, and I had been charted as a much more creative thinker than he'd ever be. So what if I had slimy gray skin, a perpetually runny nose, and breathing pores up the sides of my body that emitted gases that made me smell like a dead raccoon most of the time? Small price for progress, right? I was one of the courageous few who had accepted the challenge of the apparently slimy, sticky, and smelly space people. None of these revelations were going to help with my discussion with Elwood. Alas, he was the one with the astonishingly advanced bean-counting abilities. If I had dropped 0.0001% below some arbitrary performance criteria, I'm sure that Chrome Dome here would know all the math behind it. We are going to have to terminate, Stephen. Could be worse, I thought. With all my brain power and creative genius, I could go freelance, become an amazingly irritating and rich consultant. But then it was my turn to get a piece of paper. It was something I'd signed back when I was a lot dumber. You do understand that because we paid the costs for your intellectual improvements, we can't allow anyone else to profit from them. Okay, maybe it could get worse. Here's an interesting historical factoid. Do you know that they will use the same substance to burn out my mutagenic agents that they used to treat venereal disease? I mean, before they discovered penicillin? Mercury. That's right. They were going to inject me with heavy doses of brain-killing, blood-poisoning mercury. It will definitely sharply reduce my intelligence. It might make me go blind, but at least it won't kill me. Which, by the way, was the other option that Elwood mentioned. I can go home eventually. But I wonder if there'll be anyone there waiting for me. Maybe they've already started with doses in my food. I feel stupider these days, watching a lot more sports on TV. They said eventually I'll get to come and visit you at Fort Fuckup. Did you know that that's what they call the containment facility for unplanned evolutionary manifestations? Okay, well, at least my vocabulary isn't shot yet. We'll make for quite a pair on visiting day. I'll never be so far gone that I won't be happy to see my baby brother. And you can tell me about all the wonders of the universe and how you dreamt of visiting all those fantastic civilizations that drift beyond the stars. And I'll just be wondering what stars are. Love.